we'll be doing Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 8 today. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men.
Thank you. In an amazing display of unity, 58 Indian Army Service Corps soldiers set a world record when they collectively rode one motorcycle. Can you imagine what that would be like? 58 people on one motorcycle. These individuals are nicknamed the Tornadoes. The stunt team is internationally known. They currently hold 19 different world and national records. And with this latest ride, they broke their own previous record of 56 men on a motorcycle. And this group was formed in 1982 for the purpose of touring to promote national integration and adventurism. The combination of balance, coordination, and cohesion required for such an endeavor does not come easily. It's a challenge. And what you should do as you look at the pictures of these 58 servicemen on this motorcycle is that you should reflect on how this is a picture of the church. We're all balanced together in this thing that they call the church. And so the Apostle Paul is teaching us in Ephesians 4 how to get along. He says in verses 1 and 2, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, those are a couple of amazing verses about getting along with one another. The word for bear in the original language in Greek is aneko, and it means to be patient and to endure and to persist. If you think of the church as a body, then consider your own body for just a moment. Just look at it, okay? Check it out. I broke my arm when I was 14 years old playing football. And I was in a cast and a sling for 9 weeks. And I don't ever recall a time where I said to myself, I should just get rid of this arm. It's not doing me any good. Instead, I was patient. Now my left arm is helping me out in every way. It helps me to play the guitar. It helps me to tie my tie every morning. And what it reminds me of is that we need the whole body. We need everything. And when one of the parts isn't working so well, we should just be patient. And it says here, be patient, bearing with one another in love. We're to love each other in the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul is referring to himself here as a prisoner of the Lord because he's writing to the Ephesians from a Roman prison. He refers to them here as being called by God, here and in verses 4 and 6. So if God is doing the calling, that means God is in charge. God is running the show. Many of you are going to watch football games today, and there's always one person who's overseeing everything. He's what we call the head coach. And that's what God is. He's overseeing everything. He's doing all the calling. He's doing all the decision making. So what he wants for you and me is for us to be completely humble, gentle, patient, and loving one another. That is a life worthy of the calling that God has given to us. To be completely humble, gentle, patient, and loving one another. Now, the word bear, which is used here in this passage, is used again in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians, which is another prison letter. He says in Colossians 3:13, "Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." So someone on the motorcycle we call the church may be stepping on your foot. What are you supposed to do when someone steps on your foot? This passage is saying that you're supposed to forgive this person because God has forgiven you. The next time you're tempted to be bitter, picture the cross. That's God forgiving us because we've all been stepping on each other's feet, right? No one is perfect. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. If God will forgive us, then we should forgive each other as well. We read in verses 4 and 6, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there is one way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. There is one heaven. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. And so we think in terms of unity when we read this passage. I think in terms of unity when I think about the American Baptist Churches USA. I think about our global mission, and I think about the mission that we're involved in throughout the United States of America. And I know that I'm in a mission with people who are different from me. The last time I checked, 44% of American Baptists are African American. 44% are Caucasian. The rest are Latino and Asian. And when I think about the diversity of our denomination, I find myself thinking about the last time I was at the University Hospital visiting someone. And I was at the desk getting the room number for the patient I was coming to see. And then I turned around and there was Damon Lynch. Now, Damon Lynch is the pastor of an African American church in Cincinnati, the New Jerusalem Baptist Church. And he immediately reached out to me and called me by name and gave me a big embrace. And I thought to myself, how in the world does someone as famous as you remember my name? But that's Damon for you, because he wants to include me in his world. We're one body, we're one faith, and we have one Lord. And that's how I feel when I'm around Damon. I feel like I'm a part of a family that's greater than I am. And so I encourage you to think about that today, that we are a part of something larger than what's in this room. One faith, one body, one spirit, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, the Apostle Paul says something very similar to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12:12. He says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. This week I got a telephone call from Patrick Pang, who is with Great Commission's International Partnerships. This is a mission that you support, whether you know it or not. And we give hundreds and hundreds of dollars to this ministry every single year. And what do? They translate the Bible into different languages for individuals who live in Southeast Asia, specifically in Indonesia. And you know, it's a fascinating thought how many hundreds of languages are present in that culture and how many individuals who do not yet know Christ are receiving the Bibles that Patrick and Rose are part of putting together. Many of the people are reaching out to are Muslim. And so these Muslim individuals are receiving the Word of God. And it's because of people like you, because of your generous spirit, you're giving to this ministry and this mission. So why did he call? Just ask for prayer. Because it's a hard job. It's a hard job sharing the Word of God with people all over the world. And so he departs from his home in California several times a year to go to Indonesia to share the Scriptures with people who do not yet know Christ. And as I received his call, I was reminded that the body is a unit, and Patrick and I are a part of the same unit. We have very different gifts, but that's how it is with Christ. Christ, the body of Christ. We read in Ephesians 4, 7, and 8, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." Grace means that if I have a gift, it came from God. I can't take any credit for it. It's all about God. This verse is a paraphrase of Psalm 68, verse 18. And God is telling us here in Ephesians chapter 4 that Christ rules. By his grace, we have received gifts from God, which make us all part of the body. Everyone is gifted in some way. Have you reflected lately on your gifts? What they are, what God has given to you? I'm thankful for all the gifts that are in the body of Christ, because some people can teach, some people can sing, some people can pray, some people can encourage, and some people simply serve. I'm always amazed by the cleanup crew on Wednesday nights after our dinners. You know, none of those individuals receive applause for what they do, but God sees everything. It says in Hebrews 6:10, that God will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. God sees everything that we do for him. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. God is the source of all that we have. He gives us life. He gives us life eternal. He gives us every breath we take today. And he gives us the gifts that we have. And he has an objective in mind when he gives those gifts to us. He has a plan for his people. It may not be your plan. Tim Keller said, a common vision can unite people of very different temperaments. So God has a plan for you and for me, whether we recognize it or not. And he's asking us to fulfill it by the using of our gifts. And what that means is that we have to come together. We have to come together in unity. In his book, The Fingerprint of God, Ron Bryce wrote, "One day as I assisted a surgeon, he had me reach into the patient's chest and turn his heart so he could work on it from a better angle. As I gingerly swiveled it, he asked, 'How does it feel to hold a man's beating heart in your hand?' In spite of our manipulations, the man's heart kept thumping as billions of tiny heart cells communicated and coordinated their activities." You know, the cells in your heart rhythmically contract in unity, acting together to produce a heartbeat. If these living cells are separated from the heart in a test tube, they will instinctively continue beating, but not in coordination with each other. If the cells are brought back into contact with one another, they touch, their contractions again become synchronized. This is the nature of heart cells. Individual heart cells cannot accomplish their God-given function alone. They were designed to be one of many cells in one heart. While they serve a unique function in the body, they are not useful if they don't communicate and coordinate their efforts. If the members of an entire body don't communicate, life is not possible. A single heart cell working alone cannot pump blood to the body, no matter how hard it tries. It needs the other cells to fulfill its purpose. This is a consistent pattern found in all living bodies, and this is a consistent pattern found in the church. We need each other aligned together so that the body of Christ is pumping, so that it's functioning, so that it's serving. All living bodies have communication among the members. Is this important to God? Absolutely. In Psalm 133, we read these amazing words. "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore." Those are good words to dwell on. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. This picture of oil on Aaron is a picture of his anointing as a priest to serve on behalf of God's people. When we think about the dew from Mount Hermon going to Zion or Jerusalem, we think about how dew made the area in Mount Hermon so very fruitful. It made things grow. Mount Hermon is a special place. Do you know what happened there? Scholars say this is where the transfiguration took place. So what you can picture on Mount Hermon is Jesus and Moses and Elijah and Peter and James and John. What a team that was, coming together in unity, bringing glory to God. I love to think of Mount Hermon's dew refreshing Zion, Jerusalem. You know, these two mountains are separated by hundreds of miles. Whatever is separating you and me doesn't have to separate us anymore. We're the body. We can get the blessing that's being described here in Psalm 133 if we live together in unity. God desires us to be together in unity, and so he refreshes us with the dew from Hermon when we collectively serve God side by side. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your gift of unity. We thank you for the love that is between us. We thank you, Father, for your instruction to dwell together in unity and to be the body of Christ. We give you praise and glory for all of our sisters and brothers throughout the entire world who are following you, Jesus, because we're a part of the same body. We have the same Lord, the same faith, and the same baptism as they do. Help us, Lord, to know that we are one body and that we are unified, Father, by you and your Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is entitled, In Christ There Is No East or West, number 285. We invite you to stand to sing, and if any of you have a need for prayer, for healing, please come to the front, and a deacon or deaconess will pray with you.